Yo, what is going on, everyone? It's your boy Cole, and today is Wednesday, the 5th of October, and today marks the final day of regular season games for the 2022 MLB season. I swear, every year, man, the games fly by very fast. You know, 162 games at the start of the year seems like so long, but it's a snap of a finger, and you know, we're here already, getting ready to talk about the MLB playoffs. Actually, today is the second podcast that's releasing today. We filmed one last night for NFL Week 5 predictions. I posted that this morning, and now we're doing another one after school. So, in this episode, it's just me and Joe here, a little two-man pod. We're going to be covering all the awards for both the National League and the American League, and then all of the playoffs games. And actually, this is a new playoff system that they implemented this year. So, there's an additional team in both the AL and the NL, so it should be pretty exciting. We're going to start it off, our awards, and we're going to begin our awards with kind of the least notable, I would say, award out of all of them. We're start off with Manager of the Year. We're going to kick it off in the National League, and my Manager of the Year is actually, I was looking at the odds for all these picks. This guy's actually third in odds for National League. You know, the number one guy was Dave Roberts. I feel like that's a chalk pick. You know, he wins it, what, every year? I'm going to go with Ollie Marmol of the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, I was a big Cardinals hater. Obviously, I'm a Cubs fan, but, you know, even coming into the season, unbiased, I just did not like what was on their roster. You know, they had three ancient players on their team, Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, Adam Wainwright. And yet they made some moves at the deadline. They got Jose Quintana, and they got Jordan Montgomery, and that really boosted the pitching staff, and they were playing great. Ollie Marmol, is it his first year coaching?
Indeed.
It's his first year coaching, so he's going to be my NL Manager of the Year pick in his inaugural season with the Cardinals.
So with the team the Dodgers have, I mean, you should win that many games. So Dave Roberts, I don't like Dave Roberts. I mean, he never can finish the job. He's won only one World Series at that team. Highly ridiculous. But I'm going to go with Buck Showalter. I mean, I like the Marmol pick, but I mean, I think Buck Showalter hasn't been a manager in the league in about 5 years or something like that coming into the season. So, I mean, this Mets roster is very talented. They should have won more games than they should have. But the Mets also, as like Cole like says, no matter how many moves they make, they still didn't make the playoffs. And this year they did. They blew the division, so he might get points against them for that. But I think for not being in the league for 5 years, I think you got to go with Marmol here for – Showalter for Manager of the Year.
Yeah, those were the two guys that I was debating between Showalter and then Marmol, but I decided to give it to the guy that, like Joe said, the guy that ended up winning the division. Well, the Mets kind of, they blew a 12-game lead, I believe it was, a 12-game lead against the Atlanta Braves. The Braves did not have a good start to their season, but they had a great start.
I don't think they'll get many points deducted for Manager of the Year because of that. I mean, the Braves are returning champs, so, I mean, they did the same thing last year. They didn't lead in the division until the last week, and they've only led in the division for 7 days now, and still, I mean.
And it was, you know, so impressive. It, you know, it was their fourth 100-plus win season in their franchise history. I think it was the first one in over 40 years. So that was, or 35 years, something like that. Very impressive from Buck Showalter and the Mets. So Joe goes Showalter. I go Marmol. Getting to the AL Manager of the Year. This guy was also not the number one choice. In terms of odds, but, you know, this guy's near and dear to my heart. Former Cubs first base coach, Brandon Hyde. It's you know, it's going to be tough to defend this guy, to defend Manager of the Year for a team that didn't make the playoffs. But the Baltimore Orioles were, I would say, consensus bottom three team in the league. But they exceeded their expectations. They, what, finished over 500, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 79, something like that.
I think they'll be 82 and 80.
That is extremely impressive. Brandon Hyde was being criticized, you know, for being a bad manager, but that just proved that it's not his fault. If you're given a bad sack of players, a bad sack of bags, there's not much you could do. Now we got Rutschman up. They're calling up all these prospects. Gunnar Henderson. I think D.L. Hall is one of their good prospects as well. All these guys are coming up, and the Orioles are just going to keep piling wins upon wins. Until it's going to be tough to compete in the AL East even next season. But I think by 2025, these guys could definitely compete for the AL East crown. And hopefully Brandon Hyde gets an extension. You know, former Cubs coach, Love that guy.
And I'm going to agree with you here. I'm going to go Brandon Hyde. I mean, with given how bad the second bags, I like that term, second bags, he was given, I think they were projected below 62 wins. They were projected over 100 wins again. They've had a top two pick the last four or five seasons. I mean, they were projected a top five pick again, and they're going to finish like mid-bottom pack. So, I mean, great job, Brandon Hyde. I also expect next year, I mean, with Boston going down and Tampa Bay, I don't think they'll be around. I mean, they'll always be around, but I think Baltimore passes them up next year. But Baltimore could be looking at that third spot next year and maybe sneak into the playoffs if they decide to spend some money. But I think he gets it, and if it's not Brandon Hyde, I think it's got to be maybe Dusty because they did win 105 games. Or Scott Cervais, because, I mean, they just broke. They made the playoffs for the first time in, like, years, so.
Much like, what is it, AFC American Football Conference? Much like the American Football Conference, the American League is much more competitive than the National League and the National Football Conference, the NFC. Getting into our NL Rookie of the Year vote, and actually the top two guys are both Atlanta Braves. Michael Harris, the center fielder that took over for Ronald Acuna, and Spencer Strider, who's one of the leading pitchers in that staff. I'm going to go with Strider here. Strider's my guy. I love his calves. He has some magnificent calves. And, you know, while I do admire Michael Harris for stepping up and filling that Acuna role, you know, the lineup is already stacked enough. So it's hard to say that he kind of carried, you know, his – you know, part of the team. Well, Spencer Strider, I don't want to say carry. They have Max Fried. They have Charlie Morton still, do they?
Yeah.
They got Charlie Morton still. And I would say Strider was up there with them. Might have been better than both of those guys. You know, Max Fried's one of my favorite pitchers, but Spencer Strider is looking like the future of the Braves pitching staff. He looked great this season. Strider is my pick. You know, I would like to give an honorable mention to the wonderful Seiya Suzuki, because I think if he played a full 162-game season, he could definitely be up there. And then shout out Christopher Morel, because he's great too.
Yeah, I'm surprised he has to finish third, I'd assume. I mean, 16 home runs.
Mackenzie batted. Gore is there, I think.
Well, I mean, he got traded, so I don't know if
mm-hmm.
– but I'm going to go with the other guy, Michael Harris, and just for one reason, because Strider went in there be a high-end reliever, and he got a starting job for the pitching, and he did amazing. I mean, he could be a high-end guy for a while there, but I'm gonna go with Harris because so Acuna got hurt, or he was battling some injuries, and Ozuna was getting arrested and stuff, DUIs, but Harris was going. His job was to go in there and just, I mean, temporarily just do his job. Well, he took somebody's job. So, shout out to Steve Pearson. He went out there and took somebody's job, and now he looks like he could be a part of that team. I mean, they have everybody signed for, I mean, like, 6-7 years.
What they should do is just trade Acuna right on over to the Cubs, honestly. If they honestly, don't even need him anymore.
Exactly. We could send him, like, PCA. No, we're going to keep
maybe
PCA.
Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward. Straight up.
100%.
But it cancels off the contract, too. Look at that. But, yeah, I think Morel should finish third. I really don't know who else. I'm trying to think. Well, the guy from the Nationals actually finished pretty strong. He's like 30, but his name is like Joey Menzies or something like that.
Oh,
I mean,
he had
a great second half once
they
traded
him. He was in the Juan Soto trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had did a great job for the Nationals in their crap fest over there. But I'm going to go with Michael Harris.
All right, getting into our American League Rookie of the Year. I just gave a quick shout-out to Adley Rutschman, but I think this has got to be a consensus pick. Julio Rodriguez of the Seattle Mariners made the All-Star game as a rookie, as a 21-year-old rookie. Very impressive. Competed in the Home Run Derby. You know, some injuries and some stuff sidelined him for a little bit, but I would say he's one of the main leaders of this team, as young as he is, that led this team to their first playoff appearance in 20-something years. I think it was the longest playoff drought in all of sports, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners for getting the job done. I will specifically get more into his impact in the wild card series that they're going to have upcoming. But I feel like you should have Rodriguez here too.
Yeah, no-brainer here. I mean, he's the future of their team. He's their star player, and he's entering his rookie year. So people compare him a lot to how A-Rod was when he was a rookie, or who's the other one? I was about to say Pudge, but I was going to say maybe that's because they all have the same last name or something like that. But yeah, he's the future of that team. Played in the Home Run Derby in his rookie year, and I thought for sure that would mess him up, and I was completely wrong. It just helped him out even more. So, yeah, Julio Rodriguez.
NL Cy Young. Joe, he got this. He hit this one right on the nose. Sandy Alcantara.
Oh, I forgot to say, I did also predict rookie of the year. I forgot to say that from earlier, but if we can go over those real quick. But I don't know who you had, but
I'm gonna go take a peek after I talk about Sandy.
Go ahead. Sandy
did great things. You know, I would say the lone bright star of the Marlins, not even their pitching staff, just the entire thing. They were a bad team, one of the worst in the league. But Sandy Alcantara did some great things. I know midseason there was a push for Tony Gonsolin or Julio Urias to maybe be the NL Cy Young, but I think it's Alcantara's got to be the favorite. The amount of games that he starts where he goes 7-plus innings is unreal. He's got good stamina, good longevity, and he should be the cornerstone of this Miami Marlins team. And, you know, hopefully they build these guys into a winner. And Sandy Alcantara can, you know, be representative of that Marlins team.
So back to, so we'll go to the managers real quick. AL, I had Scott from the Mariners, so that one might actually be true. And NL, I had Joe Girardi. He was fired, so... it's a little rough one there, but
I did get Julio right. I said Julio Rodriguez.
I also said Julio, and then I said Seiya Suzuki, and unfortunately, so he battled the injury bug a little bit. Cy Young, I had Sandy Alcantara, and I'm sticking with this pick. He threw 224 innings. Literally, his back is throbbing from how bad he carried the Marlins. And Don Mattingly will be fired this upcoming offseason. So I think the Cubs should go out and make a push for him because this team's about to get going here. So I think he would be a perfect. So Jed Hoyer, we know you're listening. Listen to me. Go out and get Don.
I heavily criticize David Ross a lot. But I feel like the way that he managed this team towards the end of the season, you know, when they got eliminated from the playoffs and whatever was, you know, not officially, but like pretty much they were like, yeah, we're not making it. It was probably late July, early August. But this team still kept pushing. This last month and a half, 2 months, they've played some great baseball. They've won 11 of their last 14. Last game today, I think they're winning right now. I think 3-1 or 3-2. That will make it 12 of their final 15 games that they win. I like that a lot. You know, these guys really don't have any motivation. It's not like they're pushing for a playoff spot. They're playing the Cincinnati Reds, who also don't have any motivation, and they're capitalizing on it. They're playing some great baseball. They beat the Phillies, who are in the middle of a wild card run. It's impressive. Before we move on to the AL Cy Young, I would like to say my manager of the year picks were all-time bad. I said AL manager of the year was going to be Joe Maddon, and NL was going to be Bud Black of the Rockies. That I don't want to talk about that. All right, getting into the AL Cy Young, I'm going to go with the man who I picked to win AL Comeback Player of the Year, Justin Verlander. His sub 2 ERA was in like the 1.88 range. 1.7.
Then no hitter last night.
Dog. He's a dog. He threw a – yeah, we were talking about on last night's pod, combined no hitter.
Just missed it. Will just Smith missed it. Blue.
He's on the Astros?
Yeah, he got traded for Jake Odorizzi.
Verlander's my pick. I feel like there's no real competition. Do you know who would be in second? I don't even.
Maybe. I guess.
That team is going to finish under 500.
And I guess Garrett Cole, you could say, but
I feel like he's a contender every year.
Yeah. No matter how bad or good he is, he'll always be a contender. Oh, and Alec Manoah, I know. He was
– oh, he had a good season.
He was up there.
Oh, yeah. The White Sox are down 10-0 right now against the
Twins. In their final game, way to end it.
And with this loss, they will finish 81-81.
Good. Thank God.
All right, what do you got for AL Cy Young? You got Verlander AL, as well?
I have Verlander as well. My pick back in March was Jose Berríos, and he did not live up to expectations. I was between Berríos and Manoah, actually, for Cy Young, and I took the wrong guy. But Verlander, age about to be 40, putting up an ERA of 1.7 is absolutely ridiculous. And if he doesn't win, I might stop watching baseball.
I would say that he could be third in AL MVP voting, honestly, if Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, like, died.
Alvarez over him.
Who?
Yordan. He batted over 300 with, like, 35 homers and whatever knocked in. So, I mean, I think I'd take him over.
I'm a big Yordan fan. I love Yordan. He, you know, sneak peek for 6 months from now. I think he's going to be my AL MVP pick. I love Yordan. Getting into our – damn, we're already at MVP. All right, NL MVP. In 2021, Freddie Freeman, a first baseman, won MVP. 2020, short season, a first baseman by the name of Jose Abreu won MVP. This is going to be the third year in a row where we see an MVP come from the first base position. As much as I don't like it, he's very old. He's overrated. Paul Goldschmidt. You know, Albert Pujols didn't really carry this Cardinals offense until the end of the season. Obviously, something had to click other than, you know, him, because he's been in the headlines, really, for the Cardinals recently. Obviously, hit number 703 the other night. But Paul Goldschmidt's my pick. He did some incredible things in the months of June and July. He earned himself a lightning card in MLB The Show for that. And he's my NL MVP pick. I really don't even know who else would be up there. Did Harper have that? No, he was hurt for a while.
Freddie Freeman, Goldschmidt.
Oh, Mookie Betts.
We're forgetting one.
Trey Turner?
No.
Machado?
Oh, Arenado.
Really?
Yeah, he unless he finished bad, he was also – it was between him and Goldschmidt for 1 and 2 for a while.
Who do you got for NL MVP?
So back in March, I said Chris Bryant, and he hit one home run this year. I know he only played 46 games this year, so he was
he hit a little bit one bomb,
and it wasn't at Colorado. I don't think he. It was ridiculous how they said.
Wow.
I mean, I thought for sure him going to Colorado. I was like, wow, this guy's gonna do some serious math, but nope. And I'm gonna agree with you here. I think Paul Goldschmidt will take home the MVP honors here. He had a great season. That Cardinals team's gonna be something special. It's the end of an era for that team, and they're gonna. Well, you could see as I predict the playoffs, but yeah, I'm gonna go Goldschmidt.
All right, getting into the AL MVP award. This man comes from Japan. He's a two-way player. Shohei Ohtani, back to back. It's not happening. It's Aaron Judge. Come on, guys. 62 home runs. Hit it last night. I've seen people trying to say Ohtani is the winner. And, you know, as incredible as he is, I think he's going to win more MVPs in the future. He could be a 3-4-time winner. What Aaron Judge did maybe, you know, won't be replicated for another, whatever, 60 years, you know, for that AL record. So for the AL MVP, it only makes sense to be Aaron Judge. Is he the Triple Crown winner, or did that average go down?
He's missed. It was 315 to 312 entering today, so.
That's NG. That's no good. Near Triple Crown winner, but still led the league in RBIs and bombs, and he's top of the league in average. A lot of these guys, you know, like a Pete Alonso, they hit so many bombs, or like a Kyle Schwarber, and that's all they do, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge, that's not the case. You know, I know he's in a bandbox at Yankee Stadium, but he still hits for singles, hits for doubles. He hits those gaps, much like Lukancic, because he has no pop. But he, unlike Lukancic, he has that pop when it needs to come out, and that equated to 62 home runs. A historic season for Judge. He's going to be the AL MVP.
I would love to agree with you, but I want to be right as much as Judge deserves it, and I think he does. If I were the voter, I'd be voting Aaron Judge, but I want to be right, so I'm going Ohtani.
Dude, what?
Everybody just loves him. And
I was messing around.
No, I think I no. Trust me, my personal thing. I think Judge is the MVP.
I don't think it's very close.
I don't think it is either. But people say that. Oh my God. I forgot Ohtani was also in conversation for Cy Young. We didn't mention that, but
they didn't make the playoffs. 200, didn't finish over 500.
Over 200 innings and 30 home runs means something. So I guess I want to be right, and I know they're going to choose Ohtani, and it's going to be by an absurd amount. I think when they both come out, Ohtani's going to have 25 first place, and Judge will only have 5. I think that's how crazy it's going to be. But I think Ohtani takes it home, which is – I think Ohtani – I don't know if the Cubs are willing to pay the price, but I think Ohtani will be in Chicago. Don't know which team, but I think one of those teams is going to trade for Ohtani this upcoming offseason.
I can see him going to the Yankees, man. I can.
I think they send out Trout and Ohtani, just the full-on rebuild. Yeah, they have two of the greatest players that will play this game, but they still can't figure it out with those two. So, I mean.
Imagine the absolute bag they would get if they combined the two. Literally just trade your entire – delete your minor league teams. Give your entire minor league rosters to the Angels.
I don't even think you can do that because that's like – it's almost like they did with Josh Bell and Juan Soto this offseason. I mean, yeah, you maximize your deal thing with the Padres there, but I think you have to do those two in separate deals. Like send Trout to probably – I don't even know, Mets – Padres and Dodgers. I don't think you could send him there because maybe the Cardinals. Cardinals could take Trout.
Oh, man. Well, he's from, I think, Rhode Island or like Delaware or New Jersey. He's from New Jersey, so up around there. So maybe the Red Sox.
Because I know the Cardinals were in talks for Soto, and they already had the price, so I can't imagine that price being much different for an older guy. Who I puts up like the same product. So, I mean, putting Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Trout together, which is crazy because, like, if you look back that Goldschmidt's going to a second MVP win, I don't think Arenado's won one and Trout's won, like, a million. But those three players are, like, the top 1, 2, 3, like, a few years ago in the MLB Top 100, and those three could be on the Cardinals. That's just crazy to think about.
I would like to see him play at Fenway. I think that would be fun. That's an episode that I think we've done the last 2 years. We'll do it again. Predicting where every MLB free agent will go. And obviously Trout's not a free agent. He signed that very lengthy extension. But maybe we can have some potential trade talks in there, especially if rumors come out. Maybe we get like a Passan bomb or something. I guess that's the MLB equivalent. It's going to be interesting to see how the Angels do, though. I do not think Ohtani is the MVP.
I don't either, but I want to be right. So,
all right, getting into the final award, the most important award, the Roberto Clemente Award. This is the equivalent of the Walter Payton Man of the Year. It's the MLB equivalent.
Shout out, Petey.
Shout out. One representative from each team. So there are 30 finalists for this award. And my guy is Jose Trevino of the New York Yankees. This guy is a great, great guy on the field and off the field. He hosts a toy drive for little kids every year around Christmas time. You know, for, you know, families that, you know, maybe aren't as fortunate as others. And, you know, in the New York area, there's a ton of families with a ton of different backgrounds. So he's helping out as many people as possible. He's giving those kids some toys for Christmas. Stand-up guy, Jose Trevino, is going to be your Roberto Clemente Award winner.
I'm going to take Tony Kemp. Not much. I mean, on the Oakland side of things, not much to celebrate over there. But, I mean, Tony Kemp's a well-loved guy around the league. I loved him when he was on the Cubs. He just brought that spark. So, I'm going to take Tony Kemp.
All right. Getting into the playoffs, like I mentioned before, it's not the wild card game anymore. It's the wild card round. Okay. So, the 3, 4, 5, 6 seeds in both the American League and the National League will face off in the best of 3 series. The 3 seed plays the 6 seed, the 4 seed plays the 5 seed, and now only two teams get a bye to that division series. We're going to start off in the American League, so we're going to give all of our AL picks all the way to the World Series and go through all of our NL picks and then pair those two teams up. So we're going to start off in the American League with the wild card round. It's a best of 3 series between the 6 seed Tampa Bay Rays and the 3 seed Cleveland Guardians. I think the series definitely goes to 3 games. You know, I am a big Tampa Bay Rays hater. I don't know how they do it every year. I think we didn't do a podcast predicting the preseason because I dropped my phone and it broke and I didn't get the episode off in time. But In my notes, I had Tampa Bay Rays. I said this was not the year for them, and yet they came back and made the playoffs again. I don't know how they do it. Cleveland Guardians, one of the – I think, yeah, not one of. They are the youngest team in the entire MLB. Tristan McKenzie, I'm a large fan of his. You know, Zach Plesac could be a good part of the team, but he gets really angry. J-Rob, one of my favorite players. You know, this lineup isn't really crazy. They have Stephen Kwan. They have Andres Jimenez. I don't think they have Roberto Perez anymore. But, yeah, these guys, they don't have any, like, you know, notable standout guys other than J-Rom. But, you know, the bullpen is solid, and they just find a way to get the job done. Taking Cleveland here in three games. I think it goes the full three. Cleveland will be hosting games 1 and 3, and I think they walk it off in game 3. That's a little bold prediction. I guess we can't really do a countdown, like a game-winning field goal. But, yeah, Cleveland Guardians, I think they take the series in 3 games.
I will have to agree. I think the Guardians also take them in 3 games. I think they'll beat them with Bieber. The Rays, I'm usually a fan of the Rays.
Oh, Shane Bieber, their best pitcher. What am I? Yeah. I'll never forget him.
I'm usually a fan of the Rays, but this year I am not. They are getting to that end of – I mean, now I won't say the end because they have Franco for the next 13 years and Rosarena for, like, the next 6, and they have building pieces, but – I mean, they also got Glass now back for the playoffs. I forgot about that. Well, I'm still going to take the Guardians. I think they've earned their spot to be here. Terry Francona is entering his last season, so he's going to try and do everything to get this team as far as he can. And I think they get it done in 3. I mean, the Guardians have a lot of, besides J-Rom, a lot of impact players. It's just like Miles Straw, Andre Jimenez, you got Ahmad Rosario, I think.
Miles Straw came from Houston, I believe, Houston, right?
I forget who they traded. But the reason I have Guardians, I do have them going pretty far, but their bullpen, it has been absolute lockdown. I've always been a fan of Karinchak. Karinchak.
That guy's a dog. Touching his head a little too much, touching his hair.
Yeah, got to check that hair. But that guy's a dog. And then you also got Class A and I know I'm forgetting somebody, but they have – their bullpen is loaded. So when they get deep into the game, they score a few runs early on, and then they – as long as they hold them, they can go far away in this playoffs. And they – I mean, the team, except J-Rom, might not have the experience, but the coaching staff does. So I think that also helps them get it done versus the Rays.
This is what the White Sox aspire to be. You know, they're in the same division. But when you have a young team filled with talent, you know, Terry Francona's an older guy, but he's no La Russa. He knows how to connect with those guys. Exactly. And doing some good things. Getting into our next AL wildcard series, it's the Seattle Mariners, the 5 seed, like I mentioned before, historic season, and the Toronto Blue Jays, who are the 4 seed. I like both teams. Both teams, you know, I like a lot of American League teams because the Cubs are in the National League, so the only team I dislike, I guess, would be the Chicago White Sox. So, you know, both teams are fun to watch. I'm going to take Toronto here. I cannot see Seattle winning this series. I'm going to take Toronto like the previous series. I think they win this one in 3 games. I think that home field advantage in that last game is going to be very crucial. You know, they got a whole country rallying around them. They're the Canadian Blue Jays. The whole damn country likes them. And they're going to pack that house for the playoffs like always. And it's going to be loud. And honestly, I can see the series. I can't see the Mariners winning. It's going to go 2 ways. Either the Mariners put up a fight and the Blue Jays ended up squeaking one out, or the Blue Jays just dominate. I think it's going to be the former. I think that Toronto or that Seattle's going to compete. But then last second, end of the game 3, Toronto's going to step on their neck. And they're going to end up winning this one and advance into the ALDS. Sorry, Seattle fans. Your playoff run is done.
I also have the Blue Jays in 3, but the Mariners, you have bright days ahead. You do not have to worry about this year. It's only the first year of what you're building over there. The Blue Jays, however, you have a very bright future, however, but the pitching, you have some pieces still where you got to mix it in. But I think they get it done. I think the Mariners win game 1 just because Robbie Ray pitched for the Blue Jays. Won Cy Young with him. He knows how to pitch there. It's going to be loud. It's a great environment. I think that's the best stadium to play in during the playoffs. It's a dome. You're packed in. It's loud. Edwin Encarnacion's home run versus the Orioles in that wild card. I think that is the greatest home run in playoff history because of how loud it was, the atmosphere, not the greatest home run. Greatest home run might be from their team, Joe Carter, to win the World Series. But I think Mariners get game one, and then the Blue Jays win two and three. I think game one is going to be – oh, I forgot.
What about when, like, two. When like Javi hit it in the basket?
That was also great, but that the way the stadium shook when he hit that home run was absolutely nuts.
I like the Lindor Grand Slam. That's a good reaction. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. I think it was against
the Yankees.
That's a good one.
But I'm kind of like second guessing myself already. I mean, Mariners have Ray Castillo and I forgot they have Castillo.
I feel like Robbie Ray's going to choke, honestly. I could just see him just getting absolutely torched.
Yeah. But then the Blue Jays have Manoah, Berríos, and Gausman. So, I mean, it's going to be a well-played series. I'm excited for this one to start. I'm going to try and watch a lot more playoff games this year, but I'm going to try and watch all three of these games.
I can't. I'm so sad. I can't watch the first day because I got to watch the Minooka Indians. It trounce the Plainfield North.
Oh, you are funny.
All right, get into the ALDS. It's a rematch of the series we just brought up. The 3-seed Cleveland Guardians against a team that got a bye, the 2-seed New York Yankees. I was just talking up the Guardians. It's a 5-game series now in the ALDS. I think they put one win across the board, but I think the Yankees ended up taking the series in 4 games. Those Yankees fans, they're passionate, man. And I think Aaron Judge is going to continue to hit some home runs. I did pick them to lose in the AL wildcard game last year against the Red Sox, and I was so right about that. This team is just more stacked than ever. And I think if the captain of the team – I don't know. He's not really the captain. Captain of the Cubs, I guess. Anthony Rizzo could step it up. They could do some very good things in the playoffs. But Cleveland, I think they beat Tampa Bay because they don't have a lot of talent. And, they got some youth. But I don't think the youth can take down the absolute empire, the Star Blaze empire that is the New York Yankees.
I'm going to take the Guardians in 5 in this one, and I'll tell you why. Yankees, yeah, you have the starting pitching, yeah, you have the hitting, sure, whatever. The Guardians, the only reason they are in the playoffs right now is because of pitching, bullpen. That is something the Yankees do not have. They do not have a guy that can go out there and close the game 100% like the many options the Guardians have. You got Chapman, who was about to be DFA'd as the season finished. He might be DFA'd tomorrow because they might take somebody else over him in the playoff. And then you got Clay Holmes, who started off amazing and then absolutely crapped his pants as the season ending. Scott Efros might be the guy, and I love that guy. We got an even better player for him who's been amazing for the Cubs so far. Shout out Hayden Wisniewski. But I think the Guardians take this one in 5. I think it comes down to I think Bieber has there's always that one player, I guess you could say, each playoff.
Yeah. Daniel Murphy, Jorge Soler.
Who was it?
Jock Peterson.
I don't have them going to the World Series, but I think Shane Bieber might put on a mad bum performance in this postseason. I think maybe 3 or 4 starts. I really believe in the Guardians, and I think they take down the Yanks here.
All right, getting to the next series, the 4-seed Blue Jays against the number 1-seed Houston Astros. I'm gonna take the Blue Jays here in 5 games, all 5. Every game, I think they would win in 3, but unfortunately, he cannot. I think he's going to start games 1. If he starts 1-5, it's going to be tough to see Toronto winning. If he starts, they're going 3-man rotation. I can Toronto cap game 5. I like Toronto a lot. Bo Bichette, he was a potential candidate for Roberto Clemente Award for me. Vlad Guerrero does some incredible things, but it's really the pitch I love. Whatever happened to Kirby Yates? Is he still doing math over there or what?
I think he got hurt. I don't think he's – they have some guy
– he was so dominant with them.
There's something Romano. That's who their closer is now. The guy's absolutely dog. I think it's Jordan or JoJo Romano, something like that. The guy's an absolute stud. I'll check
yeah,
that while
you
finish
that,
up.
The Astros, you know, they got Luis Garcia, and they've got – is Framber Valdez doing any kind of math?
Oh, yeah. Real big piece for them this year.
They're really the big name guy is Justin Verlander. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays have more of a three-headed monster. They have Barrios, Gausman. Why can't I think of their ace? Who is their ace? Barrios, Kevin Gausman. Who is Manoa, the GOAT. And I think that longevity and the, you know, that depth in the starting rotation is going to push them over the Astros. I think they get first rounded. Sorry, Astros fans. I picked the World Series last year. Now you're getting a first round exit.
Blue Jays bullpen consists of Anthony Bass, Jordan Romano, Ross Stripling, and Yimi Garcia, and Adam Clymer. So they have a decent bullpen. All these guys were on – they were on Indian, Guardian, Dodgers, all at some point. I mean, they have a very solid bullpen. However, I think the Astros take the Blue over the Blue Jays in four. I think Verlander starts 1-4 and gets it done in both. And then you got that little break before the championship series start. But this one really comes down to, I mean, the Astros are winning games. I mean, Blue Jays are in a tough division. Astros can't say the same. But winning 105 games, I mean, they're going to win. Everybody expects them in the playoffs and stuff. But they lost Carlos Correa and still went out there and won 105 games. I don't even think they did that with Carlos Correa. So, I mean, I don't know by losing him if – I don't know. But they acquired Trey Mancini at the deadline. That guy's been amazing for them so far.
Big time.
Yeah. And then acquiring Will Smith. I mean, he blew a no-hitter last night, but that's a huge bullpen arm they got on top of McCullers, Kane, Valdez, Verlander, and there's one more I'm forgetting. Can't think of him right now. But I think the Astros get this one done in four.
All right, getting into the American League Championship Series, I have an AL East matchup, the 4-seed Blue Jays against the 2-seed Yankees. You know, the Blue Jays, you know, are on kind of a miracle run. They beat Seattle. They beat the Houston Astros, in a little upset, but their run ends here. I think the Yankees take this one in five games. The team is just so good at baseball. Kevin G.O.D., I'm sorry. I can only take you so far. I think the Yankees win this 7-game series. I think they take this one in five.
Wait, this is five? It's not seven?
No, I said it's a 7-game series. I think the Yankees take it in five.
Oh, so wait, the divisional series are seven?
No.
Sorry,
the ALCS, you chach. Come on.
Oh, ALCS. Oh, yeah, I took the Guardians over the Yankees. I was way behind there. Astros versus the Guardians. I have Astros in five. I think this is where the Guardians' luck runs out. But like I said about the Astros, I like them. Love Dusty Baker. I think he finally – not going to say it yet, but he gets a very big accomplishment this year. And winning 105 games, like I said, he could be easily manager of the year this year.
What
he's
is that
done,
big accomplishment, Joe? What is it?
Maybe winning a World Series. I don't know. But – I still don't. I still have not chose a World Series pick yet, so I still got to do that before we do the NL. I don't know who's going to win the World Series yet, but got to submit that in soon. But I'm going to have Astros in five. Yeah.
All right. I have the Yanks going to the World Series. That's the 2-seed. And Joe has the 1-seed Astros making it. Getting into the National League side of things, we're going to kick it off with the wild card round. The first matchup we're going to be talking about is the 6-seed Phillies. Had a very tight wild card race at the end. They were kind of choking, and Milwaukee almost made a comeback. You know, maybe if they kept the best closer of all time, Josh Hader, they would have got in. But fortunately, they didn't. So the Phillies are the 6-seed playing the 3-seed Cardinals. This is a 3-game set. I'm taking the Phillies in two. I think the Cardinals absolutely choke, and Albert Pujols is going to go out on bottom. Now, he's not going out on top. He's going out on bottom. Phillies win in two.
Ooh. Wow, I did have St. Louis in two, but I just changed it to three because remembering that the Phillies have Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, and that is a scary duo to run into. And even Kyle Gibson's really decent. But Cardinals went out, so they have Wainwright, Jordan Montgomery and Quintana. So last year you would think, oh my God, Montgomery and Quintana, like, holy crap, how'd they make the playoffs? These two have had amazing seasons this year. So I think the Cardinals take this one in three. Shot. I really like the Phillies, but almost getting no hit last night. I don't know. I think that just that is a big momentum. Like, hit the brakes. Everybody cocks back in the car. It's just, I think that, I don't want to say that's the reason why they don't. But great job by Rob, whatever his last name is. He could honestly win manager of the year because, I mean, the Phillies snagged a playoff spot when they were 12 games under, and then the new Rob, after Girardi was fired, what's his name, came in and won like 11 in a row, and they snagged a playoff spot. So props to them, but the end of the line starts here.
Rob Thompson?
Thompson.
It's a very tough last name to say.
Very. Why I didn't know who what his last name was. Very white name.
You think Quintana's going to start over Miles Michaelis?
Jack
Flaherty?
No, Flaherty isn't. I don't even think Flaherty's pitched this year.
Really?
Yeah, he had something wrong with him, but Michaelis,
Jack Flaherty he pitched last week.
He hasn't pitched all year, so I don't think, maybe he'd be like a game.
Six innings, three runs, 9 Ks, not bad.
Not bad, but I take Quintana over Michaelis because Quintana, he pitched in the playoffs to the Cubs, right?
Yeah, I was at a game where he took down Max Scherzer.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously he has the playoff experience. I think Michaelis has always worked out of the pen in the playoffs. So, I don't know if Ole, the manager of the year you have here, is going to – I mean, maybe that's why he's the manager of the year. I mean, but you have him getting first rounded. So, I have them going pretty far. So, St. Louis in three.
A thing I saw in the headlines last night, and this is honestly another reason I forgot to bring it up why I didn't take the Cardinals, is that Ryan Helsley, their all-star closer, had a sub-1.5 ERA. He was removed from last night's game with a jammed middle finger.
Oh, no.
Dude.
No, no.
Dude, you'll see. He's going to blow it for him. He's going to blow it. All right.
That guy, that would be the most electric in the playoff. Like, if you're playing at St. Louis, I think that's where they are playing. And he walks in, the whole stadium turns red, and Hell's Bells play. I mean, man.
Hell's Bells. Yeah, but like, jammed finger. You ever had a jammed finger?
It does hurt, believe me, but no.
All right, getting into the next wild card series, the Padres, the 5 seed against the 4 seed Mets. Again, has not played well. And I just don't like the pitching staff that much. I think Musgrove is overrated. So give me Mets in two.
I also have Mets in two. Padres got the biggest trade in the offseason history. Might be the biggest trade in MLB history. You're trading away Juan Soto, and the pitching just is not. Maybe Blake Snell returns back to like his playoff form, but I doubt that happens. I'm going to take the Mets in two here. I really don't think. But the Mets are missing Starling Marte with the whole series. He's out the whole series. Finger. That's all it says, his finger. He's unlikely versus the Padres. So that is a pretty big blow to that team because Marte is a very big impact player, defense and offensively. So I don't think it's big enough for them to lose, but having to face Scherzer and DeGrom, good luck.
Yeah, I don't think that this Padres lineup is good enough to get it done, especially against the Mets. I think Musgrove and Darvish, they're going to be starting games 1 and 2. Outings, but then this bullpen, you know, especially with Josh Hader, kind of second half,
he's figured it out lately.
5 point. It's at a 5.
He's figured it out lately. I know, but like last 10 innings have been like, I don't think he's given up a run, so maybe he's back.
Mets love to come back, so I'm gonna take the Mets here, just like you in two. All right, getting in the NLDS best of 5 series, the Phillies, who upset the Cardinals, against the Atlanta Braves. NL East matchup. Give me the Braves here. Braves in four. They are loaded. The Phillies are not. They're, you know, like Joe said, they have not been playing well as of late. The Braves are going to have that rest. They're going to have probably a week long worth of rest. And they're going to get that home field advantage. Give me Braves in four.
I have St. Louis in five. Really big on the St. Louis train. I think it's the last hurrah, end of an era. Molina, Pujols, and Wainwright. So I think Wainwright's going to have a little chip on his shoulder entering the playoffs, and he's going to do extremely well. The Braves, they are one of the most dog-fighting teams in this league. They want it. They no matter how far back they could be, they will get back there and still kick your ass. So, I mean, I don't know why I have them losing, but I'm riding the St. Louis train. As much as I hate them, got to ride that train, and I'm going St. Louis.
All right. Getting into the next NLDS game, Mets versus Dodgers. This was a lot of people's NLCS pick, but unfortunately, the way that the seeds fell, these guys would end up playing in the NLDS best of five series. Much like the one seed Astros, I have the Dodgers getting upset. I think Mets in five, you know, like Joe said, DeGrom, Scherzer, disgusting. I'm a very, very large Mets hater, but, you know, when they got Francisco Lindor, they got Pete Alonso doing things, doing some math. Is Starling Marte having a decent year? I think he's all right.
Yeah, but he's out. He's out.
What happened to him?
I just said that he was out. He's going to be out the wild card. And I'm sorry. Hold on. Oh, yeah, you're right. But hold
on. Talking NLDS.
I didn't realize that if the Mets win tonight, the Marlins are winning right now. If the Mets win tonight, the Mets win the division.
No, the Braves clinched already, I thought.
They did? But why does it say still won? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does say Y next to the Braves, so I think we're fine. But it still says one next. They're not good, it looks like. I don't know. Maybe the Braves have the series. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Mets in five because I hate the Dodgers, and they cheat, and they spend all their money, and that shouldn't be allowed. All right.
I also have the Mets in five. I don't like the Dodgers pitching, to be honest. With how good their team is, their pitching, they could do much better. Walker Buehler, that was a big blow. He was out for the whole year, maybe out for the whole year next year. But like I said, DeGrom, Edwin Diaz, Scherzer, they got it all. So going Mets in five.
All right, getting into the National League Championship Series, you know, My ALCS pick was two AL East teams. My NLCS is two NL East teams. That's why I think the environment is going to be electric for this year's playoffs. A lot of rivalry matchups. Mets versus the Braves. If the Mets win this one, they're having the Subway Series as the World Series. But the Braves are taking this one in seven. This is going to be one of the most competitive series of the whole playoffs. This is going to be a memorable one. It's going to be a fun one. And I think if I had to pick, you know how we talk about that playoff meme player, the guy that always takes over? Spencer Strider, my NL Rookie of the Year pick, is good. It's over this series. I think he pitches two very good games. A playoff no-hitter from Spencer Strider. Braves advance to the World Series. Their second straight, they take this one in seven.
I have St. Louis over the Mets in seven. Me, personally, I think just the Mets, I think this will be the best series in the playoffs, Mets or St. Louis. I mean, two electric teams going at it. It's going to be great. As much as I want to see, like you said, the Subway Series, World Series, it would burn down the city of New York. But I think St. Louis gets it done. I'm riding the St. Louis train. I don't know my World Series pick, and that's the next thing. I play rock, paper, scissors myself. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to go St. Louis in seven.
Okay, so Joe's World Series is Astros-Cardinals, and mine is Braves-Yankees. Best of seven series is going to be a very fun one. I think this is a rematch from, like, 1995 or so, somewhere around there. These guys played a couple decades ago. But this is the, you know, this is the new, the modern version. And the Braves win their second straight World Series. Ooh. I think they take this one in six games. I think the Braves, you know, over the Yankees, over the Dodgers, have the most young and complete roster in the league. Austin Riley, super underrated. Even with the loss of Freddie Freeman, these guys are still incredible. Even without Acuna, they're going to overcome that adversity. The pitching staff is just going to get shit done. And the Braves take the World Series for the second straight year, and they win this one in six games.
Houston Astros beating the St. Louis Cardinals in six. Dusty Baker gets his World Series. As much as it'd be great, I mean, I hate the Cardinals. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it would be great to see those two go out with a World Series ring. All three of them could be Hall of Famers. Not sure on Wainwright, but the other two are for sure Hall of Famers, Molina and Pujols. But, yeah, I think the Astros take this one in six. And, yeah, Dusty Baker gets number one and retires on the spot.
God, that's such a bad pick. I don't like either of your World Series picks. I have both of those guys getting first.
Gotta ride it sometimes.
Ugh, makes me want to gag, to be quite honest. All right, thank you for joining me, Mr. Lukancic. The next podcast that will be posted, I believe, will be either NBA standings predictions or NFL Week 6 predictions. So stay tuned for that. And kids, stay off those drugs.
Yep.